This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
And on the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday, July wheat ended the day at 580 and a half. That was up 18 and a quarter. September wheat ended at 583 and a half, up 15 and a half. December wheat ended at 590 and three quarter, up 14 and three quarter. July corn yesterday ended at 383 and a quarter, down 1 3/4. September corn ended at 392, down a half. December corn ended at 402 and a quarter, up a quarter. July soybeans yesterday ended the day at 1002 and a half, up a half. August beans ended at 994 and a half, down 3 1/4. And September beans ended at 984 and a half, that was down a nickel. July soybean meal yesterday ended the day at $341.90, up 6. August meal, $334, down 8. And September meal ended the day at $329, down 6. July soybean oil yesterday ended at $33.05, down 17. August oil, $33.11, down 20. September oil ended at $33.17, down 21. July oats yesterday ended the day at $2.46, that was down 13 1/2. September oats ended at 256 and three quarter, down 10 and a half. Right now, we'll take you to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for a recap of the cash grain markets.
This is Monday's report of grain prices and trends prepared by the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois country grain prices were mixed on Monday afternoon, with wheat finding support from a drought in the Canadian and Oregon and Washington wheat growing areas. In northern and western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids down 2 to 5 cents at 353 to 368. Soybean bids were mixed at 969 to 1002. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 2 to 3 cents lower at 357 to 378. Soybean bids were mixed at 986 to 1006. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were mostly 2 to 3 cents lower at 365 to 384. Soybean bids were mostly 1 to 3 cents higher at 992 to 1013. Wheat bids were up 18 to 19 cents at 512 to 556. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids were 3 to 8 cents lower at 1010 to 1030. Basis was steady to 5 lower at 15 to 35 over the August. High pro soybean meal on a truck basis was offered at 351.90 to 366.90, with basis unchanged to 2 lower at 10 to 25. Over the July. Illinois corn processor corn bids were 2 to 3 lower at 377 to 393. Basis was steady to 1 lower at 6 under to 10 over the July. Illinois river barge loading elevators quoted their producer corn bids mixed at 375 to 380. Basis was unchanged to 3 lower at 8 under to 3 under the July. Soybeans ended 1 to 2 higher at 1009 to 1017, with basis steady to 1 higher at 6 to 14 over the July. Wheat prices were 6 to 18 cents higher at 541 to 547. Basis was unchanged to 2 lower at 40 under to 34 under the July. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators placed their producer corn bids 1 to 2 lower at 391 to 396. These elevators raised their soybean prices 1 to 2 cents, with quotations at 1029 to 1035. Soft wheat closed sharply higher at 536 to 555. Milo ended the day down 2 cents at 433 to 450. Contract bids for the producers for new crop in October. In the northern part of the state for corn, we had 354 to 377. Soybeans in the northern part of the state at 912 to 947. Contract bids for new crop corn in the central part of the state at 367 to 377. Soybeans, 945 to 960. And in the southern part of the state, new crop bids for corn were 364 to 377. Soybeans at 924 to 955. That concludes our report. This is David Humphreys, the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Livestock futures on the Chicago Board of Trade yesterday. July hogs ended the day at 74.25, down 120. August hogs ended at 71.77, down $1.05. October hogs ended at 64.65, up 132. June live cattle yesterday on the Chicago Board of Trade ended the day at 149.67, up $1.27. August cattle 149.87, up 135. October cattle ended at 152.30, up $1.30. August feeder cattle yesterday ended the day at 219.07, up 182. September feeders 217.90, up $2. And October feeders, 216.57, up $1.97. Back we go to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for a recap of the cash livestock markets.
Thank you. This is Bob Reese with the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Monday the 29th afternoon livestock report. Starting with the National Daily Direct Hog Report, calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass traded 53 cents higher, in the range of $65 to $75, with the weighted average carcass price of $73.52. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sows were trading a week steady with moderate demand for moderate offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds were 26 to 31, 4 to 5 weights 30 to 34, 5 to 6 weights 34 to 38, and 6 weights and up 36 to 40. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, barrels and gilts at country buying points were trading 50 cents lower, with moderate demand for moderate offerings, ranging from $48 to $52. Receipts for Illinois hogs so far today, 12,120 head. And from the National Daily Pork FOB Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts were established, with 274 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was $82.91, and that was $1.18 higher. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses were higher. Choice carcasses $253.22, that was 10 cents higher, with select carcasses at $248.64, that was 49 cents higher. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated at 113,000. That compared to 108,000 last week and 118,000 a year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 424,000. That compared to 417,000 last week and 405,000 a year ago. That concludes our livestock report. I'm Bob Reese with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Welcome to our farm show for Tuesday, June 30th. This is John Michael Marty, the last day of June, last day of Dairy Month. And hold on to your hats, though, because according to the Dairy Council, July is ice cream month. So we'll just continue on that dairy, or maybe the best part of it, according to some people. Well, I hope you had a great time at the Montgomery County Fair last week. It was not too wet. Frankly, I think we maybe got a little luckier than the Macoupin County Fair the week earlier. No cancellations and didn't have to move too much at all. So it worked out pretty darn good. Montgomery County Fair, the sheep, the cattle, the goats, everybody had a good time, some big winners, and nobody cried too much. And I hope you also enjoyed the interviews with Lacey Nodal that Terry did while he caught her out at the fair. The demo derby on Saturday night was quite a big deal, and so was the little kids in their battery-powered cars that they were doing. So everybody had a good time at the fair if they went. And if you missed it, try not to miss it next year. Still a great fair, and one of the very few that have got MMA mixed martial arts fighting as the Butler Brawl continued in fine shape. Well, the fair, Illinois State Fair, is coming up in August, and some of the deadlines are fast approaching, like some of them tomorrow. Livestock, the deadline for entries is tomorrow, except for poultry and rabbits. The poultry and rabbit deadline is July 10th. General entries, July 15th is the deadline. Floriculture, August 1st, and except for roses, the deadline is August 12th. Dairy products also on August 12th, the day before the fair starts. And a Bee Culture Professional is August 13th. And the Bee Culture Open, you can enter up until the judging begins. And the fair will be held August 13th to the 23rd, of course, at the Illinois State Fairgrounds in Springfield. More than 8,700 contests, ranging from livestock and horticulture competitions to judged art shows and culinary showdowns. They add new events annually, and information about the offerings for the fair can be found in the Illinois State Fair Premium Books, which are available online. These books contain not only descriptions of each event, but also specify their rules and regulations. You can go to illinoisstatefair.info under the Competitions tab, and then you can also get a print copy by calling the Competitive Events Office at 217-782-0786. Midwest dairy farmers are telling their story through a new cookbook. They share their stories through the one thing every person can connect with, and that, of course, is food. The Dairy Good Cookbook, Everyday Comfort Food from America's Dairy Farm Families, was inspired by consumers' passion for cooking and recipe sharing. This book also helps people reconnect with those who play a role in producing our food, the nation's nearly 47,000 dairy farm families. The Dairy Good Cookbook, which offers a unique day in the life perspective of dairy farm families, hit the bookstores early in June, just in time to celebrate Dairy Month. 9 dairy farm families from Midwest Dairy Association's 10-state area are featured in the book, including Karen Bonert of Bonert Jerseys of East Moline, Illinois, and her recipe for triple-layer chocolate cake with vanilla buttercream icing is on page 202. The top leadership of the National Corn Growers Association was well represented at the field hearing regarding the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency's proposal to reduce the volume of ethanol in the renewable fuel standard. The NCGA President Chip Bowling of Maryland and Chairman Martin Barbary joined scores of farmers and others on hand in Kansas City last week to speak of the importance of domestic renewable fuels to the nation. The EPA's proposal would cut nearly 4 billion gallons of ethanol, we mentioned this earlier, from the RFS through 2016, representing nearly 1.5 billion bushels in lost corn demand. According to Bowling, we simply can't afford and will not tolerate efforts to cut the demand for corn, and that's exactly what your proposal will do. We can't let this stand. We've done our part, and our allies in the ethanol industry have done their part. It's time the EPA sided with those of us supporting a domestic renewable fuel that's better for the environment. Bowling ended his testimony telling the group that farmers were watching and would continue to speak out. We've never before seen so much grassroots interest in a particular issue, he said. The many who came here today had to set aside important work back home with delayed planning and other important field work. They're here because they know what's at stake. In his testimony, Barber spotlighted the importance of the renewable fuel standard and questioned the EPA's methodology. Until the EPA proposed changes to the renewable volume obligation for 2014, the RFS was doing exactly what it was intended to do, driving adoption of domestic renewable fuel alternatives to petroleum, supporting jobs across the country, and ensuring the United States remains a global leader in developing new renewable energy sources while decreasing greenhouse gas emissions here at home. The EPA's proposal threatens these outcomes. At the same time, we're extremely concerned about the methodology behind the EPA's decision. The EPA only has the authority to issue a waiver when reviewing the RVOs if either the RFS would cause severe economic harm to the economy or the environment, or if there is an inadequate domestic supply. But we can't afford and won't tolerate efforts to cut the demand for corn. And that's the bottom line. That's the story. That's part two of our farm show for this Tuesday, June 30th. Have a great week, everybody. This is John Michael Marty.